Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Have you seen any good erotic thrillers lately? Chances are pretty good that you haven't, because this subgenre of film isn't nearly as popular as it used to be. Back during the 1980s and the 1990s, erotic thrillers like Fatal Attraction and Basic Instinct were everywhere. Inspired by film noir, these thrillers featured femme fatales who were not afraid to use their sexuality to get what they wanted from unhappy men. Although, as Abby Bender told us, erotic thrillers are making a bit of a comeback on streaming services. Abby writes about film and fashion. She's also the author of the New York Times Magazine essay, Why I Love Erotic Thrillers. Abby joined us from her New York City apartment, and we have to admit, the city's sounds added a perfect touch to the subject matter.
To me, I think of erotic thrillers, I think of Venetian blinds that cast shadows and women wearing fabulous outfits and expensive homes. And it's just this very sort of sophisticated yet trashy vibe is, I think, the key to it.
Mm-hmm. What makes an erotic thriller different from a film noir?
Yeah, so film noir, I mean, obviously those were very much the template for the erotic thriller, and the erotic thriller owes a lot to it. I think what makes it different is how erotic thrillers are a bit more explicit, both in terms of what they show, showing sex scenes, showing nudity very, very often. I think in the 80s and 90s, you could show more, you could sort of bring in like these more modern themes of like yuppie culture and women in the workplace and things that were becoming more common then. So it's basically like the film noir template meets the sort of trashiness and more explicit sexuality and also some of the social and cultural concerns as well of the 80s and 90s.
That's a good description. Well, when did you first become fascinated by erotic thrillers?
One of the first ones I remember really enjoying was Wild Things, which is a bit of a later one because it's from 1998. And it has this, spoiler alert here, but it has this really wild twist ending. I just remember seeing that as a teenager and just being like, this is crazy. Like, this is so fun. And then like from there, I realized like that genre was always something I really enjoyed because I've always really liked that sort of heightened style.
Tell us a bit, you sort of sketched out what Wild Things is about, but can you tell us a little bit more about the plot without revealing any spoilers?
So basically it's the kind of plot that would very likely get canceled today or be called problematic today. It's these two girls played by Denise Richards and Neve Campbell. They accuse their school guidance counselor of sexual abuse, and it turns out that they sort of have been in cahoots, and then there's all these sort of twists and turns as like many, many levels of double crosses that are happening. Also, Bill Murray's in it as a sleazy lawyer, and it's just really funny to see Bill Murray in this kind of film. And it's in Florida, so it has this very like sort of like hot, sweaty atmosphere. That is something that also comes up in erotic thrillers a lot, like most famously Body Heat, which is known for being a very sweaty movie that makes its title quite literal.
In your essay, you talk about Neve Campbell's character and the part she plays in the film. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
There's a little bit of that classic, you know, blonde brunette rivalry that you see a lot and have seen a lot in the culture going back to like Betty and Veronica comics and stuff, with Neve Campbell being the brunette, Denise Richards being blonde. And Denise Richards is rich and popular. Neve Campbell is kind of goth, and she's considered like trailer trash kind of person because she's doesn't have as much money. She's like not from a stable background. And she basically, it turns out she's the smartest person of all. And that really appealed to me, the idea of the outsider who can infiltrate these spaces and be able to get away with things because they're being underestimated for whatever reason.
Well, I've got a good pop quiz for you. Multiple choice, of course. Before sailing away on the Helios, Medea killed King Creon and the princess with what? A rock? a spear gun, or a little poison.
Poison.
Good guess.
And most erotic thrillers, I feel like this isn't necessarily the case, because a lot of times they are in very, like, high class, sort of wealthy settings. Like in Basic Instinct, obviously Sharon Stone's character is like very wealthy and successful. But I think that there is always this idea of like the women in these movies being like a sort of force that comes in from the outside and like, you know, messes things up in interesting and exciting ways.
Yes. And in Wild Things, Nev is playing a femme fatale, which is a famous archetype in film noir dating back to the 1940s. How did the erotic thrillers of the 80s and the 90s depict the femme fatale?
It's complicated because on the one hand, I think the femme fatale is obviously quite rooted in male fantasy and is depicted as, you know, the homewrecker or the person who sort of throws the man's life off track. So that definitely is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But what I love about the femme fatale character is that there's always this like sort of level of con artistry to her that I find really interesting. She's able to sort of gain people's confidence and like sort of keep them eating out of the palm of her hand just from like being sexy and being smart. And I feel like even if she is kind of rooted in male fears in a lot of ways, I still find these characters very satisfying and interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm, definitely. The erotic thriller rose to popularity during the 1980s. Ronald Reagan was president. And you say that this era was politically conservative, yet culturally trashy. So how did erotic thrillers explore this contradiction?
I mean, I think you can see it a lot in an erotic thriller like Fatal Attraction. Glenn Close is obviously like this iconic femme fatale. And she clearly disrupts Michael Douglas's very yuppie-ish existence. But then at the same time, at the end, it's like all the family unit getting back together. She gets killed. The couple, you know, Michael Douglas and his wife end up being fine. You know, they end up, it's a happy ending for this family, kind of, even though they've been through a lot. And I think that's kind of very much embodies that like Reagan era. There's like this trashiness, but at the same time, it's like, oh, the family can still be together and it's fine and we'll put this woman in her place.
Ben, what a pleasant surprise.
It's over, Alex. It's all finished. I told Beth, she knows all about it. Why don't you speak to her?
Why would I want to talk to her? This is Beth Gallagher. If you ever come near my family again, I'll kill you, you understand?
It seems to me that on one hand, it is empowering for the women portraying these characters, but on the other hand, it's also kind of sexualizing them. How do women handle this catch-22?
I think, you know, there's this idea in film criticism that's very sort of talked about a lot and talked about, particularly in feminist film criticism, of the male gaze. And while I definitely understand and acknowledge that that is in many ways what cinema is kind of built on, I also always get a little annoyed with this idea of the male gaze, because I think that, you know, there's obviously a large female audience as well. And how can women watch these movies and how can they sort of find some subversive form of identification within them? Because for me watching these movies, you know, it's like, yes, I do think it would be really like these women are like powerful and cool. But then there's also, you know, just the elements of the style in terms of fashion and interior design and things like this, where it sort of pulls you in a way where it like looks like a fashion magazine. And that's something that is kind of feminized.
Very well said. One of the most famous, maybe the most famous erotic thriller is Basic Instinct, which was released 30 years ago. I'm curious about what your take is on Sharon Stone's portrayal of Catherine Tramell, the crime novelist and murder suspect.
I feel like she's obviously an incredibly charismatic performer. I feel like she brings to that role that sort of like icy, the Hitchcock blonde kind of energy almost.
Yes, yes.
So I love that sort of classic element that you have there. And then it's like kind of mixed with that sort of very like forceful, kind of like, I'm going to get what I want, more like late 80s, early 90s femininity, the sort of, even though she's, her character is, you know, an author who like lives in a fancy house, there is like a businesswoman quality to her where she like knows what she wants. She knows how to get it.
You working on another book?
Yes, I am.
It must really be something, making stuff up all the time.
Yeah, it teaches you to lie.
How's that?
You make stuff up. It has to be believable. It's called suspension of disbelief.
I like that. Suspension of disbelief.
What's your new book about?
A detective. He falls for the wrong woman.
The most famous scene is when the Catherine Tramell character intimidates the men who are interrogating her. Can you tell us about this scene?
The most rewound scene in cinema history, as I think some people have referred to it.
Yeah,
so where she's being interrogated, she's in a room full of men, and she uncrosses her legs and reveals herself. It's the kind of scene where it's so absurd, and you're watching this and you're like, who would do this? Like, this is crazy. But at the same time, it's like, it fits because these movies are built on these kind of crazy actions, and that's what makes them escapism.
As we entered the 2000s, we witnessed the decline and fall of the erotic thriller. Why?
I think a large part of the decline of the erotic thriller has to do with the change in the way people would consume film, and also the way, honestly, people would consume pornography, because it is kind of funny to think that the decline of the erotic thriller really does kind of pair with when online porn was becoming increasingly popular and accessible. I feel like a lot of it has to do with like the sort of increase in political correctness, as much as I find that phrase a little bit annoying, but the sort of, you know, more like vigilant and like less wanting to offend sense that sort of took over the culture, especially, I think, you know, it's kind of like post 9/11 that these films stopped being quite as much of a force as they were. And I think the sort of having a more somber national mood might have had something to do with that as well.
Very well said. Is there a film you can point to that's been released in, I don't know, the last 5 years, or since we were talking about the decline and fall of the erotic thriller began in the 2000s? Is there a film that has come out recently that you think has kind of elements or of the erotic thriller, or comes close to being an erotic thriller?
There have been some erotic thrillers on streaming services, including most recently Adrian Lyne's latest movie, Deep Water.
I wanted to say you're a brick for how nice you are about me seeing your wife.
Seeing my wife?
I mean, it's all innocent, of course, you know, but some guys, some husbands, they get a little...
Yeah, jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been around here long enough where you've heard the name Martin McRae?
The guy who's gone missing.
He saw a lot of my wife.
I would say that's like the biggest recent one, and one that's kind of has brought a lot of these conversations about the genre back into the forefront. There's been smaller ones as well that have been on streaming services, and in a really interesting way, it is kind of replicating the way some of these erotic thrillers were in the 90s, where there was a booming home video market for erotic thrillers, and not just the big ones like A Basic Instinct or A Fatal Attraction, but also very like smaller titles that had not as well-known casts, but had a lot of, you know, the nudity and the sexy vibe and the cool, you know, the cool production design. When we talk about erotic thrillers, you know, it's, I write mostly about these big mainstream ones, but then there was a whole sort of large market in the 90s of erotic thrillers on home video. So it's interesting to see that it's kind of like streaming is our home video now. And once again, erotic thrillers are, you know, something that can find a home there.
Definitely. Abby Bender, thank you very much for joining us. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Abby Bender is a writer and the author of the New York Times Magazine essay, Why I Love Erotic Thrillers. Find out more at WPR.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, James Burrows, Tom Perotta, and Abby Bender. If you want to hear it again or catch up on past episodes, click over to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast catcher and click subscribe, follow, and like. And you can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRbeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
Our technical director and producer is Steve Gotcher.
You ought to put some warmth into the place. You don't want it to reflect on your personality.
The show was engineered by Tyler Ditter.
I don't make any rules. I go with the flow.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Very unpredictable.
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
Pretty soon I'll know you better than you know yourself.